This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later, we'll be talking about unusual do-it-yourself projects you might like to try in the safety of your own garage or your potting shed. But first, a do-it-yourself project of another kind, and a warning about it. It's the Home Genetics Test Kit. When the Human Genome Project was completed, experts said that one result of all that genetic mapping would be more genetic tests for a variety of diseases and conditions, and they were right. But those tests are no longer limited to your doctor's office. These days, you can go online and order a kit. You swab the inside of your cheek, you send the swabs back for a genetic analysis. Some kits will test for specific medical conditions. Others promise an analysis of what diet and which dietary supplements you should take based on what they find hiding in your genetic code. And of course, some test kit sellers are ready to sell you the nutraceuticals that might just fit your genetic profile. The test kits range in price from $100 to over $1,000. And at a recent congressional hearing, investigators from the Government Accountability Office pointed to serious flaws with some of these testing services, and the Federal Trade Commission issued a warning to consumers questioning the scientific validity of some of the tests. But there's got to be some positive value of these tests. Is there a place for genetic tests that can be performed in the privacy of your own home? Joining me now is Kelly Ormond. She's the former president of the National Society of Genetic Counselors. She's a certified genetic counselor herself, an associate professor and director of the graduate program in genetic counseling at Northwestern University. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's set the scene. Kelly Ormond, give us a range of the kinds of tests that you can order online and they'll send it to your home.
There's really a tremendous range from anything like a genetic test for a specific medical condition like cystic fibrosis or an inherited form of breast cancer to the sorts of tests you were talking about earlier that might measure how your genes are going to predict you to metabolize certain foods and vitamins to things that might predict cardiovascular disease risk or risk for osteoporosis to things that might test for paternity or your ancestry.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's wrong with, you know, let's say you have a history of breast cancer and you want to know if you have the BRCA1 gene, for example. What is wrong with ordering a test and in the privacy of your home finding out?
Well, that's the part that's controversial. I think, you know, on the one hand, we know that direct-to-consumer marketing definitely raises people's awareness of the availability of tests. And a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise know about it or know to ask their doctor may then have it available. And that certainly is a good thing, access. But the concern is there are a couple things, actually. One is that without having a healthcare provider who has expertise in genetics to help explain some of that information, people may misinterpret what it means. And it's not quite as straightforward as it's a definite yes, it's a definite no. There may be tests that are available that could be a little bit complex to interpret. So that's one issue. And then the second, especially around conditions like breast cancer or other conditions that you may not have yet, but that you may be at risk for in the future, and that may not be 100% risk, there's the concern that that may be difficult news for you to receive. And if you're not in an environment where there's going to be support, that you may have a difficult time coping with that information.
Yeah, I'll bet. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Talking with Kelly Ormond. She's a certified genetic counselor. I didn't know there were certified genetic counselors. Tell us about what you do.
There are about 3,000 genetic counselors in the country, which is why most people haven't heard of it before. And my role is to really work with families and their healthcare providers to be sort of the intermediary around genetic test results. So if I were meeting with the family, say, about BRCA1, which is one of the inherited forms of breast cancer, we would talk initially about their family history and actually look at the family history specifically to decide if there was a high enough risk to warrant performing one of these genetic tests, making sure along with the other healthcare providers that we order the correct test. Mm-hmm. And then interpreting those results so that the family can really understand it. And one of the things that genetic counselors spend a lot of time doing is trying to provide all that information in language that the non-scientific person can understand.
And how do people find you?
Usually through referrals from their physicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the FTC singling out a class of tests, so several tests, mm-hmm. as being dubious, the ones that claim to offer nutritional advice.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I think when you read the newspaper or a lot of the media, you get this impression that the genes that are being found through the Human Genome Project are really quite definite, that there's a gene or a handful of genes that if we look at them specifically, we're going to know about the nutrigenomics, for example, or about your heart disease risk. And it's not quite that easy. First of all, a lot of these tests have unclear predictive values. So we don't really know if you have either a specific change that causes a mutation or just a slight change. We don't really know what that means completely. So it's sort of like if I were going to do a test on you, I might know that the genes are associated with the disease, but I don't know how strongly it's associated. So the problem is really that they're presenting this as though it's very clear cut, and it's not.
So what do you tell somebody who really, you know, wants to get one of these tests? How do you shop around? How do you do it the right way?
I think when you're doing anything direct to consumer, particularly when they can order it themselves, the onus becomes on you as the consumer to figure out what questions to ask. And I think the first question is, how good is the data that this is coming from? You know, what kind of studies are there? Were they validated in multiple places? Was it somebody other than the director of your company who's done this research? And what's it really going to tell me? Because I think, unfortunately, you know, we all go into this sort of thing thinking it's going to help my health. And if I can do that, I'll do anything I can. But I think the problem is that oftentimes the feedback you're getting from these tests is eat better, don't smoke, exercise. And that's feedback that your physician can give you just in general for all of us to be healthy.
Do you recommend any tests at all that are suitable for trying out in your own living room or at home?
Well, I think the important thing is for everybody in the general public to be familiar with their own family medical history and to ask those questions of relatives. Are there conditions that run in our family? And if you find in your family history that there are people who seem to have the same condition, and especially at younger than usual ages, so maybe getting heart disease at 40 instead of 65 or getting cancer in your 40s and early 50s, then those are the kinds of things where it may be more appropriate for you to consider genetic testing. I still think that it's important for consumers to raise those issues with their healthcare providers, though, and to make sure that if they are going directly to a company, that there's somebody at that company, a genetics professional like a genetic counselor or a medical geneticist or a genetic nurse, who can answer questions for them.
So if you have something like Tay-Sachs or some of these other diseases that run in your kinds of your family, then you should go ahead, but you should be ready to find a counselor to talk to about if you find the results.
I think so. And I think especially if you are found to carry any sort of mutation or polymorphism that they're considering unusual, I would really encourage sharing that information with your physicians or meeting with the genetic counselor to talk about what that means, because there's no benefit in getting the test if you don't know what it means and you aren't able to take appropriate action.
But how do you choose, you know, which of these companies?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one.
Right.
And, you know, it comes down to the fact that there isn't a whole lot of regulation around this. And when I, for example, were to pick a laboratory that I would be sending a genetic test to, I'm going to look for the laboratory specifically to be approved and certified through CLIA, which makes sure that they do their tests appropriately and they have good quality assurance within their laboratory. And then I'm going to try to make sure that I'm picking the laboratory that's going to do the right kind of test for that person. And again, as a consumer, if you don't know what the right kind of test is, it becomes very hard to manage on your own.
Let me see if I can get a call or two in the short time we have. Roger in San Francisco. Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there.
Very interesting program. What I'd like to say is that if insurance companies can ascertain this information, I certainly don't think they're going to be writing any insurance. And I think it really makes a very big argument for some kind of national health insurance in this country, national one-payer system. Because I can see in the future where if you're obliged to take some kind of physical test and they can get a genetic reading, and they can predict that you're going to come down with some kind of illness very early in life, an expensive illness, they're not going to write that insurance.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I think the insurance issues are something that are on a lot of people's minds. And in fact, there is a bill that's been passed unanimously through the Senate and is in a House committee right now to federally protect us from insurance discrimination. But on a personal level, I agree that there are a lot of concerns that if we get to a point of predictive medicine like this, we really could have issues with our current insurance system.
Roger, would you consider one of these tests on your own?
Yes, I would, because I feel it would give me some insight into what I may develop. Maybe I can do something about it. But there are just so many pitfalls in this. There's so much danger in this. I can see people who have, limited income, trying to keep insurance payments up, and then being told that they just can't be covered because they just don't feel they're going to live long enough, and what they're going to die of is a very expensive illness. Insurance companies are in the business to make money. They're not really in there to protect you. They want to make money on their programs. So I don't know about Congress and about being able to protect us in this area. I think there'll be always ways of tapping into a system and finding out about an individual. So I think public health to be very concerned. And I'm sorry to make this pitch, but we really have to think about a single-payer system in this country. It's absolutely necessary.
All right. Thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. So where do you go from here? Do you think that do you think we're going to see more of these or any regulation? I mean, are they regulated? How do we know they even work?
Yeah, we don't. I think that's the whole point, is that at this point there is no regulation over this. And there have been, at the Senate committee that met a few weeks ago, they actually presented information that they had submitted samples from two or three specific people, and they made up ages and weights and lifestyles and things. And they got back different results on the same person. They were suggested to take different treatments that this company was selling then. And I think that this was really reminiscent to me when I heard about it of some dietary treatments that had been prescribed, this must have been 10 or 15 years ago, for children with Down syndrome. And to some degree, it's almost feeding on people and their desire to be healthy and to pay anything. And I think we have to be wary.
Yeah, we will. We'll be watching it. And thank you for helping us with some guidelines there. Kelly Ormond is former president of the National Society of Genetic Counselors. She's a certified genetic counselor herself. Thanks again, Kelly. We're going to take a short break, come back, and talk about projects you can do around the house, special projects, hacking your plants. Stay with us. We'll be right back.